Welcome to the Mending Trauma Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Hoyt, and along with my sister, Lena Hoyt, a licensed marriage and family therapist, we want to help you recover from trauma, whether it's childhood trauma, complex trauma, PTSD, or any other trauma sustained from abuse or narcissistic relationships. We want to help you develop skills and ways that can help you to recover from the symptoms and the effects of trauma. We are so glad you're here. Let's dive in. Hi, Amy here. Are you feeling stuck or overwhelmed by things that pop up in your daily life? And perhaps these are because of past traumas or toxic stress? Have you tried traditional therapy and found that it wasn't enough? I know that was the case for me. That's why we developed the Whole Health Lab. Mending Trauma has put together a program that combines the latest research with proven methods to help you recover from trauma and move forward from these daily stressors and triggers. We use somatic therapy, EMDR, cognitive behavioral therapy, and internal family systems therapy. We use nervous system regulation and many other tools so that we can combine the best methods that are identified in the research to help you recover without being completely overwhelmed. So you can work on trauma on your own pace, your own time, and still with the mentorship and support of a highly trained, certified staff. That's us. No more waiting for appointments or sitting in traffic, driving to see a therapist. With our online program, the Whole Health Lab, you can access it from anywhere, anytime, even on an app. Visit mendingtrauma.com/Whole Health Lab and learn more. Get your questions answered. We've got a frequently asked questions section and sign up so that you can have this life-changing program in your world today. Don't let your past hold you back any longer. Take control of your future, and we can't wait to see you in the Whole Health Lab. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. We're excited to be with you this week. We have a special treat this week. We get to interview one of our favorite people about her experience with EMDR. And I'll let Lena go ahead and introduce her.
I want to introduce you to Lauren, who is a member of our Whole Health Lab. And Lauren, you've been a member of the Whole Health Lab for, has it been like 8 or 9 months?
Yes, I believe it was September. So yeah, coming up on about 9 months. And before that, I was in the other mending trauma group that you guys have. So well-versed in your work. Yes, peace after trauma. Thank you.
Yeah, we're really glad you're here. And we're thankful that you're willing to answer some questions about EMDR. And here is the first question. What was your first experience with EMDR like?
Yeah, you know, I had actually, you know, I had talked with both of you, I think, before I had joined the group because I was specifically looking for the EMDR support at the time. And I had also asked a couple different friends who have used EMDR in their trauma healing and heard nothing but good things, but also had heard, you know, kind of just different things about what it's like in person versus doing it in a group. And that was one of my questions of, you know, if you have something really traumatic you're working through, does it still work in the group setting? Like, I had a lot of questions. So I would say I felt very equipped from you. And so if anyone's interested to know how this works as a group, like Amy and Lena are here to like help you have all the information ahead of time. So I liked that, but I was definitely someone that didn't want to be surprised by the process. So I found it to be very kind of what I expected a little bit, just because I had asked other people. So I knew that there was going to be some tapping of some sort happening. And I also understood that you were going to be guiding me. And I wasn't really concerned, but I wasn't sure what the sensations were going to be for me during the actual session. So I think that was something that it was sort of like, where am I going to go? Like, where's my, you know, state and my emotions? And I've done a lot of different types of therapy and healing and energy work. And so I wasn't sure just where on the spectrum of all of that it was going to fall. So that was a little bit of like, what am I in for?
So you had, because you'd done some of your own research, but you had also talked to each of us individually, you had a decent idea of what EMDR, the process, was going to be like. And the one question you had is, how was it going to affect you? What did you notice?
I noticed that I definitely didn't feel as out of control with my emotions as I was concerned about feeling, you know, revisiting, you know, we have to revisit some of these traumatic experiences in our mind. That's the, kind of the easiest way for me to say it. So we have to go to that place. And I think for many people, we don't even want to go to that place once we figure out sometimes what that place even is. So that was the part that I think I was apprehensive about, but I didn't feel out of control when we were going through the session. And I think you do a great job of setting up those parameters and buffers, and you're monitoring us in, you know, this really great way. You can do this as a group, so no one's seeing anyone on video. It's like our own safe place, but you're able to see us and make sure that we are okay. And if at any point we need more support, the team is there. And so that was really important to me because I kind of just didn't know. And even as we progressed, there were times where, you know, I sometimes just didn't feel super charged up going into a session, you know, and I think that's also the beauty for me of you having these multiple sessions scheduled every month. We know when they are. You know, there's one tonight happening. So I know I can't I don't feel really charged up thinking about going into that session tonight, but I know I'll be able to pull something up at the same time. And I think there's also something nice about that. It reminds me of other types of therapy where you go when things are hard, you go when things are good, you keep going because the consistency of it is part of what is also healing to us. So I liked that. It's like, I didn't need to be falling apart every time we had an EMDR session in order to get the benefits. And it was interesting. I ended up at different times, because we are doing this multiple times a month, and for multiple months I've been doing this with you, you know, I'll just share some of the experiences that I've pulled up to do work around were not ones that I originally thought I needed EMDR for. Right. So I think this is also part of yes, we move through the hard ones and we can, you know, different levels of intensity of what people have gone through. But I've also found that this has been helpful with all sorts of different, you know, kind of intrusive thoughts or feelings or experiences that I wouldn't have thought originally, like, this is why I need EMDR. So I think that's also really valuable because it kind of opens us up. But it also helps me to kind of look and see, I wouldn't say some of these have been necessarily traumatic. I would say some of them have been a lot of grief. But that was just something that was kind of a nice surprise. And we get to decide what we're going to do the work around, right? And so if we have additional questions, you are a great resource for kind of setting us up to not feel overwhelmed. But I think I was very pleasantly surprised that I didn't feel out of control. And I did feel, as we went through, not to give away all like your trade secrets, right? But like, as we go through the different, you know, like every session, as we progress through the session, I would be feeling better by the end of it. I was seeing a marked reduction in my distress, and you are cueing us also to check in and measure those ourselves. So I have like documentation as I'm working on my worksheet at the same time, I'm seeing, you know, my distress level go down. And I keep all of those. I think it's a great reference of what came up for me that day, or what, you know, what some of the symbols, or, you know, like some of the process. So I like seeing of this work and really understanding, like seeing it on paper is a cool way, I think, for anyone who's visual to really be able to see what's happening in the session too. Because sometimes what's going on between our ears is like way too much to even yes. deal with. Yeah.
Well, I like how you talked about anticipating that it would be really distressing, and talking about how we were trying to resolve hard things and we don't even want to go to the place where the hard things are happening. And what we do is we try to prep you and give you lots of experience and practice doing things that are less traumatic, so you can stay in your window of tolerance, so you're not completely flooded by feelings. And what we found is that as we do work on recent things that have created some distress or some disturbance internally, that people start resolving some of the earlier childhood stuff. We don't have to jump right to the earlier childhood stuff. In fact, sometimes if that is done, people will not return and do more EMDR because it's so overwhelming.
Yeah. And I love that you're explaining this, Lena, because we know that trauma shows up in our day-to-day lives. And so if we start dealing with how it's showing up now, we're eventually going to go back to that core trauma to work through. Lena did a EMDR session with me maybe 2 weeks ago. And what popped up was, you know, it reminded me of what you were saying, Lauren, that what popped up for me was something so random. When I got my tonsils out as a child and I was stuck in a crib and I was so mad I was in this crib and not in a regular big girl bed, and just something that I never thought was traumatic, but it was linked to a reaction I was having in, you know, now time, current time. And I think what you're explaining to people is that the brain kind of takes over and goes where it needs to go. And sometimes it's a little surprising, which is, it's fascinating what we hold on to and we don't know we're holding on to it.
Just agreeing with that. And also that even in some of the resourcing too, which I know we're going to talk about next, like I'm always surprised what comes up and what connects, like as the dots connect, right? So as I'm pulling up or kind of going there around the traumatic memory, you know, you're also cueing me questions about how I'm feeling, what words are coming up, what are symbols about this. And so then I'm always surprised also what's connected there. It continues to kind of surprise me. And it doesn't shock me or overwhelm me, but it's like, huh, what is that about? Or just where anger would come up, or an emotion that I wasn't expecting to be linked to some of that. I think it's just really interesting. And to keep an open mind and let it move through, because at the end of every session, I always feel better. And in some ways, it kind of like puts this, just like, to me, it reminds me, if you've done any sort of other therapy session, it's the same sort of thing. Sometimes you go and you're like, ugh, I have an appointment, you know, I got a 4 o'clock appointment with my therapist. I don't really have much. And then you get there and you do. Or you're like, I don't really want to, like, you know, pull up this kind of issue I'm having and dive into it today. And like most of the time we don't, right? We really just, at least for me, I don't, even when I know I need to, it doesn't mean I want to. None of this work is something that we totally desire to do. We're doing it because we've either experienced the result on the other side and we know we need to keep doing it, or we're hoping on the other side it's better.
Well, I was thinking what would be helpful is let's define what we mean by resourcing so we're all on the same page. So, Lena, when you use the term resourcing in EMDR, what do you mean by that?
I am talking about using the power of the mind and the vivid imagination to externalize resources we already have within us. And the three or four most common ones in EMDR are a wise figure, a protective figure, a nurturing figure, a safe place. And then we have also added highest best self and seen a lot of good results with that. And I do think it's really important, again, to emphasize these are not external. We are externalizing the concept of them to access our own internal resources.
And so what you mean by that, let me just make sure I understand what you're saying. What you mean by that is we are externalizing them by talking about them, but they exist, or visualizing them or drawing them out, but they exist within us.
Absolutely. And I think that's a vitally important thing for people to know, because this is about healing. And so when we're doing resourcing, it's always after we've done the round of EMDR. And we also have an exercise at the end of that where we do a container. And the container is for anything overwhelming, disturbing, distressing, upsetting, etc. And we visualize all of that going into a container. And then we move into resourcing. And in that, we're accessing our highest best self. We're seeking internal wisdom from this visualization. And what have you noticed with that, Lauren? You said it was interesting. There's some connections that don't always seem obvious.
Yeah, I think, you know, I like visualization and I like guided meditation. And so it reminds me a little bit of that, you know, you kind of taking us somewhere, having us visualize. We're still using, you know, our piece of paper to write some things down. So I like that. For anyone that, again, likes that kind of pen to paper, it's not just all happening in our, you know, minds. But it also reminds me, like, I can use these resourcing exercises, not just at the end of EMDR, right? That's the whole point. It's to like pull that wise figure. It's to pull your highest and best self, the container exercise. Like the container exercise, I should be using a lot more than I do, because it's a place, it is an empowering tool to get a grip when you are feeling at the mercy of your emotions or an experience you're kind of reliving. And so I like that one, it always feels like you're ending the session on a high note because you get to kind of go somewhere in your mind, somewhere that's better than where you've been going for the first part of the session, most likely, right? So it's just kind of going somewhere and remembering where we're trying to go in general in our lives. And then knowing that we have these tools, and it is, like you said, it's our inner knowing coming through. And in some ways, the inner knowing feels safe and free to do that at the end of an EMDR session, because we've created this safe space and we've moved through the stuff that might be keeping us from letting that inner knowing come out.
Great. So I was wondering if you have any insight into how it's helped you speed up your healing process or your healing, your recovery process from trauma.
I definitely think it's essential for some of the stuff I'm working through, specific memories or experiences that have been really, really difficult or heartbreaking. And also knowing, how else is it sped up? I think it's the consistency of it. I know, and I also know that EMDR is not a forever tool around one thing. Like you progress through it. But what I'm liking about the fact that it's, you know, we have multiple sessions every month and I'm committing to this period of time with you to do this, like that is, I know that it's just going to continue to evolve of what I can use it for. So I do feel less distress, you know, since I've been coming. And I think the biggest thing that I was struggling with is that feeling of intrusive thoughts or feelings that were really derailing me in the middle of the day. Right? Like in the middle of a work day, or, you know, when you're trying to kind of be an adult doing something and really feeling sidelined. I hadn't experienced that. That's not something I've dealt with for years and years of my life. It's been more recent. And so I was really kind of exhausted by that and was very aware of how it was affecting my mental health. So that's something that I've noticed, because yes, I could still have those intrusive thoughts, but they weren't, you know, if I'm working it around a specific experience or memory, then that memory's not coming and like pelting me in the head all day. Like I was moving through things. There might be a new one. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's what's for next session. I didn't even know that was in there, right? So I can like, it's constantly giving me feedback, but I'm seeing, you know, my distress has gone down for sure. And I have this process now. Just, and to me, it does remind me of other, just the process of when you're going to a support group or a therapist, where you kind of have that consistency, you know, it's a safe place and it helps you regulate yourself sometimes. Because I remember going to a grief support group years ago after the loss of one of my uncles. And it was like, cool, I can go like lose my shit, so to speak, there, or lose my stuff there. And then it kind of helped me also, back to the thought of that container, it helped me kind of contain my emotions during the day, because I knew I was going to have that release. And while that always isn't doable with like really intense emotions, it did help me regulate myself a little bit, because I was getting that outlet. And we know after having a good session or a good cry or being able to move energy and emotion through us, we feel better. I always feel better afterward. It's when we're trying to restrain and press that down that makes us really sick. So I do feel that it has helped me find some consistent peace of mind, you know, day to day, and also knowing that it is a process. So if there is a day where I, you know, can't make a session, I'm not really, really upset about that. I'm like, okay, well, there's other sessions this month. I can schedule a makeup session. You know, and I think that was one of the things I found very attractive about what you offer is that it fits into real life where sometimes, you know, an individual EMDR session has a certain cost to it. There's a certain commitment or you're going once. I mean, if I was doing this once a month versus three times a month, my progress would look different, 100%. And so that was also something I had to look at is the more consistent I can be, the faster it all kind of starts to rewire and allows me to process.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Great explanation. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the words that you're using. Like
it is. I do too. Lauren, is there anything else you want to leave our listeners with about your experience with EMDR or anything in general?
Yeah, I would just say, I think a lot of people, at least myself too, there's sort of this thought of like, oh, well, like, what do you need EMDR for? Right. So someone who says, oh, this was really helpful. There's sort of this, at least for me, there's this understanding that EMDR is linked. It's a trauma therapy tool. And so I think if someone is not aware of what their trauma is, there's a little bit of like, ooh, like what's that about? Like it kind of is a separator. It's like, oh, well, you need that because of whatever you might have gone through, but I don't need that. And so I would say that if you are a human, you probably need EMDR because you've gone through something that has been really disturbing or upsetting or sad, you know, somewhere where you've had a wound that'll help with that. And I think for those of us that are saying, oh, I don't consistently need help with anything, something's holding you back 100%. It just is because it's settled into somewhere in our fibers and we don't know that that's what's going on. And so you can say, oh, I'm successful in these areas of my life, but really, have you gotten over that thing, right? That death of someone or that traumatic car accident or that divorce, like, have you really processed that? Because if you think you have and maybe you haven't, it's showing up somewhere. So I would encourage people to be open-minded. And if you don't feel like you have something very traumatic, I mean, you know, if you have something traumatic, you're like, yeah, it was that, or you're figuring out what that is. And then you know that this is a tool. But I would say for someone who's like, I don't really think I have any traumatic stuff, I encourage you to try it because something's going to come up and you're going to get free. And if you already are someone who doesn't have a lot of, you know, big T trauma, that's amazing, but you still have something and it will level you up. And if you're someone who is willing to get uncomfortable in your favor, it will help you. And I think it's for everybody. And this has really helped me to understand how accessible it can be for people. More and more, there's a lot of people in my life that have used EMDR or continue to use it. And I see their lives changing for the better because of it, not just my own.
Well, thank you, Lauren, so much for being here. We so appreciate you being willing to come on, speak candidly.
Yes, anytime. I love what you're doing. It's helped me. This is a huge honor for me just to be able to share. And I just, for anyone who's listening, hopefully you're at least curious because I think that's how it starts, you know? And if you are in distress, just know that, you know, this is an amazing place for you to reach out for help. And I think that's the first part, is just acknowledging that you need some support and someone to guide you. I mean, this is a guided, you know, therapeutic process. So you are not at the, you know, now I know that if I could use some of these tools on my own, but the whole point is to have someone there with you to make sure that it's a safe experience. And you guys are the best for that. You two are just incredible. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Lauren. We really appreciate your transparency and your enthusiasm.
Absolutely. And thank you everyone for joining us this week. And we look forward to being with you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Mending Trauma Podcast. Lane and I are really grateful that you spend time with us each week. We know you have a choice and that time is currency. We would love if you would share this episode on social media and tag us so we can reshare. If you feel so inclined, go and give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to pods so that we can get the word out and help more people. We know that we are all working hard on our mental health and we wish you great success this week in implementing these new skills. We'll check in next week.